I've been told that this is not for children. So if you are a child, stop listening.
My sister moved to Utah in November, and she nonstop complains about the horrible laws out there. Yeah. Like,
which is the way that they have a distillery out
there. Yeah, like, when you said that, I was like, really? Is that legal? Like, do people know about this?
Is it a lot of, like, can't drink gum?
The worst one I heard is you can't go to happy hour and not order food. Like, you can't just go have drinks with coworkers after work, and you have to actually eat food, too. So I'm like, I guess
But, like, how much food? Like, could you, like, order, like,
an appetizer for the table? I guess we'll find out when we go. It'll be at happy hour.
Is it that they can't offer happy hour prices unless you bought food?
I don't know. I mean, and this was through.
What does it make a difference, really?
I don't know.
Well, like, they used to. So in Wichita, they used to have this. They do at some restaurants sell this drink called a flaming cazuela, which is like a flower pot full of booze that has like orange and lime rinds lit on fire that float on top of it.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
And it is so good. So you have to like split it. You don't have to. Okay. I have drank one and a half by myself. And it's just not good. But one of the Mexican restaurants we used to go to stopped serving them because of something with the liquor law. And like it couldn't be, I don't know. But that, they also could have just made that up. And it was about, they didn't want to. There's that much booze. Because there's one restaurant that still serves them, but
that's weird.
I thought Kansas or Missouri, too, like, I had just read, I think it was around here, you can't post actual pricing of things during happy hour.
But I always look at happy hour menus before I go somewhere.
Yeah, I want to know how much drinks and appetizers or whatever, yeah.
Maybe you can go to, like, an actual menu, but, like, when you're advertising it, you can't advertise.
They just say, like, try our happy hour.
Yeah, so if you're, like, doing specials. A Facebook ad or something, you can't say $3 Wells. You just have to say, yeah.
No, Wells are on special.
Yeah.
Cheaper than...
Which I thought was weird. I'm like, who cares about... pricing?
We used to play trivia a lot in Wichita, and you would get a gift card back to the bar, and this bar, they had not so great food, so... But you couldn't use the gift card to buy alcohol. Like...
You couldn't?
No. So you had to buy food.
Yeah. So we would buy, like, the
buy food.
Shitty. Microwave pizza. And then I'd be like, I'd like my Shirley Temple, please. On my own tab.
Oh, Charles.
But yeah, Utah, they... That's all my sister
should. When are you going?
August. We're going to the beginning of August for a week. I think we're going to go. She, her birthday's tomorrow, actually.
Oh.
She's leaving Wednesday. She just bought a house. Nice. Living that glamorous life up in Roy, Utah.
What does she do?
She does non-destructive testing for Air Force. Like, she uses black light and x-rays to check for stress fractures.
Really?
It's very technical.
So that means that there's a crew that does destructive.
Destructive and trying to destroy this. Yes. Yeah.
Southwest could have used her help, maybe.
Oh.
Too soon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't know either.
I told you about this.
Complete story.
You started laughing.
Oh!
I don't know. I don't remember.
Were you seriously drunk?
When was probably when I told you.
Was this after one of those giant margarita things?
Yeah. I told him. I was like, yeah, did you not hear, like...
Oh, you told me about the banana that sucked into
the... Yeah. Window. She got partially sucked out.
Yeah.
And he's like, how do you get partially sucked out? Was she obese?
No!
I just like it. No,
a small porthole window. And so then he started laughing. I was like, this woman was killed, and you're laughing.
She wasn't killed.
Yes,
I didn't know that part.
I told you.
Now you know.
I did not know that part.
She wasn't killed.
Well, she was. Okay, well, I retract my laughter. I'm sorry.
The only casualty, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Because there was just 7 people injured
or
something.
I'm going to have that minorly. Every time I fly again. I'm going to get sucked into
the window. I'm never doing a window seat again.
No, I think you're okay as long as you're in the window seat right outside of the engine.
Okay.
Like, sit at the very bathroom.
I'm going to be in the cockpit.
No, you can't. Whoa!
Hello.
That was in the cockpit of your
boy.
No, I'll just take over for one of the flight attendants. Be like, oh, sure. Let me do this, honey.
Oh, and then they were saying, like, half the people didn't know how to use the mask.
Yes, yeah. I did say that. Because they're just putting it over their mouth. That's like, you put it over your nose.
Over everything, people.
They tell you that every time.
They do.
Every
it was time. Like, how do people, like, I know nobody pays attention, but.
It's like, not even should, comfortable. Like,
yeah, like, you should know, like.
Yeah. It's shaped for your
I
nose
don't pay
anything.
Attention, but I can still hear that droning voice. Like, put it over your nose and mouth.
You're supposed to put yours
on
first.
Sure to put it on yourself and before you help an
inebriated
person.
Even though the bag may not inflate,
the oxygen is still,
it's still flowing.
See, yeah, we all know it.
That's why I always listen to I always listen to Britney Spears when I fly because I'm like. Surely I will not die in a plane crash listening to Britney Spears.
Wow, I would think the exact opposite, actually.
I know, I would too.
But it's working for you, I'm glad.
So far, you're good.
Yeah.
Thank you for the great, great luck, St. Britney.
St. Britney.
Anyways, verbal story. And Joe gave away, you know, some secrets behind the curtain. Did you answer that?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, so, you know, we're filming. I say filming. We're recording our second episode.
I feel like you should tell us that.
We are not. Of the night, because that's what we do, because, you know, reasons. And so...
So we're back with Charles and Nate.
We're back with Charles and Nate.
I'm so glad to be here.
We're so glad you're here.
And this is...
Celesta.
Sorry.
And Charles and Nate.
And Charles and Nate. They're here.
And Otto and Dolly.
That was an episode ago. That was last week's episode. So behind us. So, we got to do the anything weird thing again.
Anything else weird?
Anything else weird that you didn't tell us about maybe an hour and a half ago?
Last week, I fell asleep, and I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and I just had this sense that I needed to check the locks on the doors because Nate was out of town, and I didn't take my bed knife with me.
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever he's out of town, I keep a knife under the pillow.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Knife.
I hear you.
And so I saw that our front porch light was on, and I was like, oh, maybe it's a stray cat that needs help. I better open that. And there's this cat that looks like one of our cats named Jumbles. And it was a cat. It was Jumbles. He had somehow gotten outside. I was carrying my supplies inside, and I guess he sneaked out. And so he was outside meowing and pawing at the door, I felt so horrible. I was a horrible cat dad. Thankfully, he was fine. He was not attacked by wildlife or other cats. But yeah, it was weird because I felt like it was, I'm very thankful I woke up when I did. He'd only been outside for about 3 hours. Not that that's a short amount of time, but.
No,
it was
kind
of weird that I woke up and I walked out of the bedroom and I saw the light was on. Like, it just worked out perfectly with the timing.
Aw, poor Jumbles.
He's just a mess. But
he's how you are.
Both of us together are. So, I don't know. Like, I guess it was weird that it was such good timing, but I'm very thankful that he's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was weird because that's never happened before. And fingers crossed that doesn't happen again this Tuesday night.
I like that you have a psychic connection to your cats. I pray for such a connection.
Well, it's after years of much meditation, led by Sting. Yep.
Good story.
He reached out to me. It's like, 2 in the morning. But I'm done. Ready to come inside.
Aww.
Anything else weird?
No.
I told her grandma gears.
Oh, jeez.
But, so I was using a very popular rebate app on my phone the other day, and I was at a very, well, I think fairly popular grocery store. I'm just going to use the name Hy-Vee. And I was using said app, and it said, hey, you can get like $1.25 back if you buy 8-pack 12-ounce can of Diet Coke, including the new varieties of flavors that they're doing now. We have a can in front of us, right? Sorry,
I love Coke.
Diet Cola.
I love Diet Coke.
I like Coke Zero personally.
I love Diet Coke sponsors.
Anyway, so, yeah, free advertising. So you can buy one of those, you buy that plus any avocado, and you get the money back, right? Like, sweet.
Why an avocado?
Yeah. So I specifically got the ginger lime because Celeste likes ginger lime. I was like, I'll do it. Why not? And it said 8-pack, and it literally says, okay. So then I go into the car, and you got to, like, scan stuff and tell it, hey, I bought this. Well, sure. I go to scan the thing. It says, does not qualify. Does not qualify. Does not. And then you can take a picture of the dang product to see if it qualifies, and it instantly said, does not qualify. I look back at the description, and it says, 8-pack, 12-ounce cans, including ginger lime.
Okay.
What is this bullcrap?
Well, I know you contacted the company.
I did, because that's the other thing, is they do weekend bonuses, so I would have gotten not only the $1.50, but another $2 in rebate, basically making the Diet Coke free, and I have paid, you know, $1.25 for an avocado, and I got free Diet Coke, but instead, I'm in limbo right now. I am in limbo over, like, $3.50.
Did you angry tweet them?
I didn't angry tweet them.
Yet. Always angry
Have you
tweet.
Seen Extreme Couponing?
Oh, I have.
He doesn't like those people, because they cheat.
No, they cheat, for one. And
how do you cheat?
Because they do coupon fraud.
Oh.
They figure out that the UPC will work on similar products made by the same manufacturer, and then they'll use it. And
if you're not a, you know, good cashier, you're not catching it.
Or like the lady I saw at Walgreens the other day, who I know Procter & Gamble is, you know, supposed to use 4 a day, and she used 8. They let her do it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would do it too if they let me do it, but it's like, okay, cheating.
Cheating. Do they have to, like, reroute their computer, like, do a computer-y thing, or did it just work?
No,
because if I'm a cashier and things are working, like, I'm not going to be like...
Works. Like, if you don't have to ring it up as separate transaction, then you're like...
Whatever.
I'll
get paid enough for this shit.
I don't care.
Yeah. It just works. Yeah.
Well, I hope you get your $3, because I know you bought this for me, and I know it just makes you angry.
I just feel like...
I'll never get Diet Coke again.
No, but everything has worked in that app until now, and I don't understand what the deal is. I mean, it's listed on the freaking...
Did you eat the avocado, though?
Not yet. It's not ripe.
Tomorrow will be...
This tale is dismal.
Heartbroken. We'll text you when we eat the avocado. It was so delicious. The other day, I made an avocado egg concoction. It was really good.
Oh, good.
That sounds delicious.
What's that weird of a story?
It was an egg salad. Egg salad. With avocado.
Egg salad with avocado.
Mm, so good.
Does that involve mayonnaise?
Yeah.
It's my favorite condiment.
I got a new mayonnaise. Heinz makes new mayonnaise.
Heinz makes mayonnaise?
And I got a free on this popular app.
What is it? Are they going to advertise it?
It's popular app.
Not until they give us $3.
Maybe I'll put my referral link in the comments.
You there should. You go.
It's called Ibotta. There you go.
Okay.
And then people can...
Yeah. I just have Aldi mayonnaise.
Aldi mayonnaise isn't bad.
No, I like it.
Well, I got it free because I was like, I'm doing this. Yeah, heck yeah. Heinz mayonnaise. I'll try anything.
French fries and mayonnaise.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Or JoJo's, like, you know what JoJo's are?
No.
They're wedges, but they're like the sort of...
Potato wedges
with the seasoning on the outside.
Like the steak fries.
Yeah. People like to do that in mayonnaise. Or sour.
Why don't we have food for these?
I don't know.
I was going to ask if I should bring a vegetable tray. An artisanal vegetable tray. I feel like we're past a vegetable tray. I feel like we need a plate of, like...
Well, I'm thinking fries at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Well, fries.
Ooh, yeah. Something with
cheese
fries.
Ooh, cheese fries.
Poutine. Okay.
We have some old potatoes.
Yeah, we do. We could
get that poutine maker fired up.
Poutine is fries with cheese curds and gravy, usually.
They serve it at Hot Cat.
Yeah,
I have not had it.
It's pretty big in Canada.
Yeah.
Guys, what are we doing after this?
Okay, anyway.
On to the drink.
Let's get into a whiskey. So we're having something that is new. Well, I'll let you guys pour first.
Brand spanking new.
This is a High West. We've done some High West before. But this is a special barrel select, which aren't super common. But this one was done for a local restaurant. And then the story is, at the liquor store I got it from, they said, hey, they didn't buy all the barrel, and we have all these bottles sitting. Do you want to buy it? And they're a liquor store, and it's whiskey. So they said, of course, because we'll sell it in 5 minutes, and we'll probably have. And so this is their American Prairie Bourbon. And their American Prairie Bourbon is traditionally, says it on the back, it's at least 2-year-old sourced whiskey. So they do distill their own out in Utah, but they also source a lot from Midwest Grain Products. Shockingly enough, that's where everybody pretty much gets their source from. And so everything's at least 2 years old, but it's also older, so it's a blend. But then what they did is they re-barreled it for 8 months in rye barrels. So barrels that were used for probably their rye whiskey, because they have a lot of rye whiskey.
Question.
Yeah.
Did they got it already 2 years aged, or they aged it 2 years and then re-aged it?
I'm not sure how it works. My guess is they probably buy a lot of younger barrels and then just age it. Mm. In their own warehouses.
So they just get everything.
Yep, and then they blend it together, and then once they have that mix, they put it in barrels again. They re-barreled it in rye barrels for 8 months. So, I literally just poured this, but, I mean, a bourbon tends to be sweeter, at least 51% corn. But then you put it in rye barrels, and rye tends to be a little spicy. We had bourbon and rye in the last one we tried. So, I don't know.
I don't know if I've ever tried this before.
51.3% alcohol. Yeah,
Well, usually I buy it now.
Cheers to new experiences.
Yay!
Red and prairie, yeah.
Since we live on the prairie.
It's got a distinct nose, dude. I can't put my finger on.
I'm not a super fan of it.
It's a lot sweeter. Well, to me it's sweeter than...
The nose smells sweet, yeah.
It is strong, though.
Mm-hmm. What's the proof on that?
51.3% alcohol, so it's actually lower than the last one.
Oh.
About 102.
This is child's play.
That is sweet and then spicy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's different.
It almost didn't taste like anything. Yeah. But maybe it's just because I got down my throat so fast. I don't know.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, to me, it's sweet and spicy, and then the aftertaste is sweet again. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. It's finally making its way down. It's like I swallowed a bunch of hot tamales. It's a hot tamale.
It's... I don't remember how much I paid for. I think $40 to $50, which honestly nowadays with bourbons and whiskeys is not shocking.
I like the bottle. It's like this little antelope.
I know. The bottles are so cool. Like, it's very...
It's a creepy one. We've talked about this before, but like,
it's kind of got a little... What's the, like, the color in the glass?
Yeah, a little
right, and the, like,
shimmery.
Air bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very...
At the bottom, it's like, the glass is almost cloudy.
Yeah,
like,
they're not...
It's like hammered.
Mm-hmm. They're not super uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of the barrels and none of the bottles seem all identically the same. But they do. They have the High West in the glass with the horseshoe. And it's just, it's really, it's one of those bottles that, there's certain bottles I've said on the podcast before where I expect to see this in a bar like in the 1850s.
Mm.
Like this style of bottle.
Yeah, because usually they're a lot more stylish.
Yeah, we have another one. So, this is not something I would see back in the... Like,
I like that. Yeah.
Looks old,
Westy. Yep. That'd be a fun job to find booze labels.
Hey, anyway, when are you done with school?
My future. Bring me all the vodka.
So, you can't necessarily find this particular barrel anywhere, and I'm not sure how common this one is. I mean, American Prairie bourbon is pretty common.
Oh, okay.
But this one is, again, finished in rye barrels, so it's kind of different.
Uh-huh. So, they don't do that normally for American Prairie?
I'm not sure they do that. No. I mean, they probably just have some. I don't know how it works.
I didn't even know American Prairie existed. So, learning all kinds of new things tonight.
I feel like that's what they do for American Prairie, but maybe.
I don't know. Read the back.
It's a long blurb.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of words. I'm not going to read it.
Well, I'm going to look. I'm going to peruse the questions.
Peruse it.
You also might.
You guys should go visit the distillery when you're out there.
There you could.
We probably should.
Are you going
to
be here?
To work. Some of the days.
Well,
I don't know where it is.
Park City is going to be
an hour from her,
I think.
But they didn't go to Park City when they went skiing because they went to the one further north.
Yeah.
She's north.
Yeah, like, I guess there is like a whole little lodgy thing,
right?
Restaurant and everything.
I don't think they finish this normally. I think they probably do the special. I don't know. It's not horrible, but it's kind of, I guess one word I'd use to describe it is uneven.
Yeah.
It's kind of different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I like the way it tastes better than the way it smells.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to say that.
I like the aftertaste better than the original taste.
It's kind of astringent almost on the nose. Like, it's kind of... But again, like, it doesn't bother me that I bought it. I mean, I pay the money by choice just because these are fun. These are things you're not going to find very often. You know, they don't do a lot of these barrel selects, so it's something different. And
it feels a special drinking. Bottle, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we share it with loved ones and friends, that's the point. All right.
Ryan has a story for us.
You didn't title yours, did you? Or did you?
I called it Otto and Dolly.
Otto and Dolly.
Or Dottie.
Okay, so my sources are theatlantic.com, victorianweb.org, princeton.edu, and bc.edu. So they're in a Whoa.
Overkill.
Totally. And I've entitled this one, It's All in Your Head. So we'll see how this one goes.
Oh, great.
So do we, showing of hands, there's only four of us, do you know the origin of terms like highbrow, lowbrow, well-rounded, or shrink?
No.
How about getting your head examined?
Yeah,
follow that. We follow that. You know where that comes from now. You've heard of it, maybe.
I mean, going to a doctor and getting your head examined?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're all from the practice of phrenology. I've heard of phrenology.
It's where they like, label different parts of the brain, right? Based upon, like, the emotions. Because a friend of mine had one of those heads that was like a phrenology head, like a sculpture of it as an art piece.
Yeah, so I thought you meant like popular. They were... Like, there was something wrong with their head, so the doctor studied it.
No, it's not really a...
condition.
Right, yeah.
No.
It's not backed by...
No, so this definition is the measurements of the head and skull to interpret and understand the organs of the brain and mind.
They're really cool to look at. I love, like, looking at the...
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. You should look them up.
Visual aid.
The models.
The model.
Yeah, the model.
You're
models.
Making a window, but I'm not really
the
sure.
The window into the mind.
So the thought of phrenologists was that a module or section of the brain had certain functions and control over, like, pretty much anything in the person, the body, the brain, the emotion, whatever, anything and everything. And so it was developed by a German doctor, Franz Josef Gall. And the thing is, even though he may be a little crazy as we go through this, you think this is nuts, he did influence things, the modern fields of psychology, sociology, and even the naturalistic study of man. So, you know, this kind of lives on in a way. And eventually he was actually offered the position of head Austrian court physician.
Ooh.
Yes, in Austria.
Damn, girl.
Sure.
But... he decided he wanted to remain in private practice and research. So
boring.
I know. In some ways, people describe him as a precursor to Sigmund Freud, who also studied in Vienna. So this guy studied in Vienna. So.
Also crazy.
So things about your mother and sex.
You know, Otto in the attic, anyone?
I'll just have more drinks.
So, Gall's initial questioning came from something that he observed in childhood, was he found that classmates who excelled at memorization for their exams also tended to have large protruding eyes.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Look at your eyes. And you're also really good at memorizing things.
Take you to Vegas.
Which I'm not sure existed back then, but yes.
Well, now you know who to look for, though.
Exactly.
Protruding eyes.
Protruding eyes. You are good at card counting.
Card
accounting.
Card.
Card
accounting. So, there were six basic tenets of Gall's system, and some call it organology.
That's where what you have some gall comes from?
Maybe.
Gallbladder.
Was called organology.
That sounds professional.
Yes. So, number one is the brain is the organ of the mind.
Well, yeah, that's where the mind is.
Okay. Number two, the mind is composed of multiple distinct innate faculties. Number three, because they are distinct, each faculty must have a separate seat or organ in the brain. Number four, the size of an organ, other things being equal, is a measure of its power.
Well, that's true.
Powerful penis.
Well, I mean, yeah, we all went there.
Yeah. So what year was this?
That's a great question, because I'm surprised I didn't write that down. Yeah, we can edit this. Keep talking,
I mean,
I'm going to look it up.
Known,
because
like...
I was thinking they've dissected brains by then, right?
Yeah.
Like, they would know there's not separate, or like, it's all one.
I mean, there's different lobes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But they're not distinct.
But you've seen the phrenology pictures, right? Like, it's where they have, like, rectangles and, like, different smaller... Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, So Gall lived from 1758 to 1828, so around 1800.
Pretty early.
Oh, okay, that was, a lot earlier than I was thinking.
Yeah, upon dissection back in the day.
To their time.
Yeah. They did not like it.
Witchcraft.
All right, so large organ. Really,
shouldn't you know this?
What?
This is your story.
Well, I didn't.
And you're a doctor.
I'm a PhD. I'm a medical doctor. Okay, Joe.
I'm trying to work it in there since Joe is in here.
Yeah. All right, number 5. The shape of the brain is determined by the development of the various organs. And 6, as the skull takes its shape from the brain, the surface of the skull can be read as an accurate index of psychological aptitude and
tendency. The shape of the skull?
Mm-hmm.
Skull's always...
I mean, you can't get into the brain, right? You're not gonna... I mean, I suppose you could. We have had trepanation.
That's where they drill the hole?
Yes, where they drill the hole. Yeah. So, you could do that, but you're not gonna do that. You're just gonna read the skull. Right? You're gonna figure out.
Massage your head.
I love it when people touch my head.
Scalp massages are great.
Mm-hmm. Right now, definitely.
I'm just gonna fall asleep.
So, his goal, and those of the phrenologists, was trying to better understand the character traits and intellect, amongst many other things, based on your skull shape. Okay. Due to the brain influencing your skull shape. So, Gall thought there were 27 main faculties of the brain. But I found sources listing over 30. So
What are faculties exactly?
Added more to it here, so I'm going to pull this website up here. There's a lot of different ones. So here's a diagram of it's in the brain. And this is what we're talking about. I mean, this is just a picture of it.
Right, and they show compassion and all different emotions.
So appleseed.
Aptitude. What?
Appleseed. App is
attitude.
It looks like appleseed.
Aprobat.
Hope.
Is this in German?
I don't know. It could be. Calculus. Calc 30. Wow, that's a lot of calculus.
TI 8 and 9.
All right. So anyway, so this is from bc.edu. So there's different, so there's sections and then there's subsections of the brain. So one section is domestic propensities. One is selfish propensities. One is aspiring and governing organs. One is moral sentiments, one is perfective faculties, perceptive faculties, literary faculties, and reasoning faculties. But then there's sub-faculties below those, right?
Oh, my lanta.
All right, so, settle in here.
We are subtle.
Get your comfy pants on.
I'm not going to read all of them, but some of them are fun.
Do the dirty one first.
Dirty,
18. Well, what's most interesting to me is, I mean, okay, it's cool what they name them, but what's funny is when they say if you have excess of it or a deficiency of it, which is funny. So, so amativeness, which is connubial love, attachments of the sexes to each other, adapted to the continuance of the race. It's excess.
They're laughing.
Can I check your brain size?
No, but it's excess is licentiousness and obscenity. So if you're very obscentious,
you're like Dolly. It's gotta have it 8 times a day.
If you're deficiency, you have a want of affection and an indifference.
That's you.
Towards, that's me. So I guess I have a deficiency.
Wait, so you're.
Here's another one. Philoprogenitiveness, which is parental love, fondness for pets, which some of us have.
That's all tied in together.
Parents. Yes.
If you love your parents, you love pets. Apparently. If you hate your parents, you hate pets, because I find that hard to believe.
Oh, well, that's what they do. That's what they
Well, did you study it, Nate?
Maybe it just means your propensity to be a parent.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Because clearly, we are parents to two kids.
Yeah, if you have good parents, you're going to be good parents to pets.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe if you have a better relationship with your parents, you have a better relationship
with your pets.
With being a responsible adult and taking care of other things.
Which I was not.
Like pets?
Or leaving them outside.
That's what I said. Clearly, I was not.
So if you have an excess of philoprogenitiveness, you idolize and spoil children. Oh. And you're a slave to maternal duties. If you don't have enough, you neglect young people.
That's why I don't have kids.
Yes, because you'll neglect them. Right?
Same.
I like this one, too.
But we like cats, so what does that mean?
I know, that's why I was going with that. I was like, he hates children but loves cats. Don't tell people. I want them to like me.
I don't really love children.
I mean, they're annoying.
Yeah, they are.
Give me all the cats.
inhabitiveness. So the love of home, or to live in one spot. Okay, so I'm going to read the deficiency first. A roving disposition. So if you don't have enough, you just want to be anywhere and be be a vagabond, right? If you have an excess of inhabitiveness, you have a prejudice against other countries.
I was just thinking to be a hermit, not
to other countries.
Like, I don't want to leave the house today.
Yes.
Or ever.
So that probably goes hand in hand with a lot of current politics. Oh.
I feel like they're just, like, listing personality traits.
That's really all they are. Yeah. But what they're saying is basically
but there's figure a correlation. It
out. Because your brain is a certain, like, your brain organs are a certain way and a certain size.
Okay.
And so your skull is also going to be the same way. Okay. Right?
I'm just wondering, like, what skulls they studied. Like, I've seen pictures of skulls. I've never handled a real skull, surprisingly. But I don't think that they're that different.
Why is that surprising?
I don't know, because I went to school. Like,
we'll get there.
People touch skulls. Yeah. Handled skulls.
A lamentiveness, which has to do with appetite and food and drink. So imagine, excess. Obviously, enough, if you have excess, you're a glutton. Or you're gourmanded. Gourmandize. Nobody knows that. I don't know what
that is. A gourmand is like a person that's super rich food.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're into that.
You're so smart.
And if you have a deficiency of it, you're a lot dainty. Of yeah. And you have a want of appetite. I do not eat.
Guilty! It's a lucky child.
Here's one that I apparently must have. Acquisitiveness, which is economy and the disposition to save and accumulate property.
Yep.
So if you have an excess of it, you're miserly. And you might have theft and extreme selfishness.
Wow, yes.
So.
What? You have a big head. Does it come with big heads?
It might. I don't know.
Okay.
But if you don't have it, then you are lavish and wasteful. So. Check your
head. I have a tiny head. Here's an example right here. Tiny head. Yep. Awesome with money. Big head. Cheap.
My dad would say those things are the same.
So approbativeness, the love of praise and affability. So if you have too much of that, you are vain and extremely sensitive. But if you don't have enough, you have an indifference to public opinion or to praise or blame, and a disregard to personal appearance.
Mm.
You don't care what other people think.
I like right? it.
Self-esteem deficiency is clownishness.
Clownishness?
Yeah.
Clownishness? Like,
clownishness.
That's a word?
Yeah. Well, you know, low self-esteem, you're attention-seeking, so you act
clownish. Yeah.
Remember those kids in school that are always trying to make other kids laugh? I was that kid.
Mm-hmm. I was in gifted classes, so we really had some of those.
So was I. Yep. I really was. Yeah. You were too.
I mean, I tested fourth grade, so.
Fourth grade and sixth grade, or...
No, I mean, I tested to go into gifted when I was in fourth grade. And then they basically segregated us.
Yeah, they did. That was so weird.
Yeah, they're like, you can't have a normal life.
I was in the gifted class in fourth grade as well. I didn't make it into fifth grade.
Well, in Wisconsin, it's not hard to gift.
I'm just saying, I had that year of bliss.
Like, what's 2 + 2? 4. Wow, you're good.
You solved this math in less than 2 minutes. Gifted as fuck.
We had a t-shirt.
Yes, I'm designing that tonight.
Copyright, Charles.
Oh my gosh. So, spirituality. If you have an excess of spirituality, you believe in ghosts and hobgoblins and witchcraft. Apparently.
Okay.
Still not clear on what a hobgoblin is, but
I don't know.
We'll cover it sometime.
Yes, please. I would like to hear the podcast exclusively on hobgoblins, because
I'm just gonna shorten it to hobgob.
The new party craze, hobgob.
Benevolence is good too. I clearly have a deficiency of it. Because if you have an excess of benevolence, you give alms to the undeserving, and you're too easily overcome by scenes of suffering. But if you have a deficiency, or extreme selfishness, an indifference to suffering, and no sympathetic regard for the distressed.
Yeah, pretty much. Big head.
Yep, big head. Yep, absolutely. But I also clearly have a deficiency in constructiveness, because inability
you
to use
tools.
You have
lots of deficiencies.
I do.
Nate has the proficiency in that.
Oh, what's that called?
It's just attempting perpetual motions and other impossibilities.
Perpetual motion? Yeah. Don't stop moving.
I must do this.
Never go to sleep.
blandness and persuasiveness of manner. I don't like
how they say it. Blandness.
Blandness.
Makes you sound like a dressing. Sour
dressing. Oh my gosh.
Blah, blah, blah.
Or like size. So they call size the ability to judge size, length, breadth, height, depth, and distance. So if you have a deficiency, you're unable to judge between large and small things.
That's me. That would be Charles, yeah.
Oh, especially wow. At night when I'm driving and it's a 2-lane highway.
Jeez.
Don't ever be in a car with me.
No, do not.
That's terrifying.
It would make it more terrifying than that crazy girl.
It was one time you almost died.
Oh my gosh, no times. And that one time was leaving your sister's graduation. So,
what
highway.
What does it mean now? Like, you can't stay in your lane?
No, I'm fine with that. I just cannot tell how
depth
fast.
Perception.
Okay.
And so, okay, so imagine trying to overtake an elderly couple in, like, a Lincoln Town car. Mm-hmm. And he's got his little Ford Focus that should get around it. Well, we pull out, and there's, like, a transfer truck coming, or a tractor trailer, I don't know.
A semi truck
coming at us. And I was like, don't go around this. And he's like, I got this. I was like, get behind this car. He's like, I got this. I was like, you were going to kill us. Pull us back over. But he seriously thought that we could make it.
So the semi-truck ran off the road. And I was fine.
The semi-truck did not run off the road. But
and we passed the old couple.
We did run a large SUV off the road once.
Charles.
At another point of time. And actually, I think we might have run the car that we were trying to overtake off the road, too. Like, all cars left the road to get out of the
way. I'm glad you're learning about this. This is why Nate drives it.
You know, I can't be a master of everything. So,
good thing you're cute.
Driving is for the birds.
Okay. I don't think birds can drive.
I'll just have my hover around and my Uber, so, you know.
Hover around. Oh my gosh. I missed one. Calculation. And I love my wife, but I think she has a deficiency. Inability to understand the most simple numerical relation.
I just told you I was in a gift class in fourth grade.
Oh, that's true.
You, sir, are wrong.
The simplest calculations I've got, let me tell you.
All right.
So
in with all of these things, because obviously they control all these different personalities and whatnot, the thought was that you can strengthen your positive organs, but you could also suffer if certain organs weren't in proper function. How exactly you did this?
We're still talking about the brain, right?
I'm still not, sure.
It's like, did they create training manuals for different parts of your brain? Like,
possibly.
I feel like they were sitting on a gold mine back then. They could
just, like, studying?
Right.
Luminosity?
Have you not had that website?
No.
It's like brain training?
No. You know I'm not looking into that thing. I'm watching cat videos.
Yeah. That was like keeping up with the Kardashians. Not really. I do not condone that.
But also, look at that butt. But don't at the same time.
Do what you want to do. Live your life for you.
I think I'm going to stop here.
Oh, we're just going to stop?
Well, we're going to have a whiskey.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the other night at the wedding, we drank a little bit. But, I'm telling you, activated charcoal. I probably took like 6 or 8 of those bad boys. I was so dehydrated the next morning, but I was actually pretty dang good.
That is what... No, it's not activated charcoal. It's milk thistle.
No.
Our friends take as a supplement. It's supposed to help with...
Who?
Brooke. You know Brooke and all of her supplements. One of our friends. She's...
Really?
Oh, it's got something for something. She just did the Whole 30 diet for like a month and a half, and so she's like, well, I'm gonna start drinking again. And it's like, shouldn't you like ease back into that, like dip your toe into it? No.
No, just went straight in.
Tequila shots.
Yeah, no, that's...
I don't know how you're alive.
No, no, thank you. No, thank you. Anyway.
So it's a pill?
Yeah, it's just a pill that you take.
Yeah, I was not. I was.
It soaks up. I mean, it soaks alcohol, but among other things.
I felt fine.
Give my stomach.
Yeah. I was really surprised. I woke up and I was like, you know, you're a little queasy because you drank a lot, but...
Because we only partially remember our lift ride home.
Yeah. I don't remember.
It wasn't that far of a lift, but still, we, you know, like, yeah, we were pretty drunk. It's one of those things where you're drinking and you're dancing and you're eating some you know,
small foods.
Cheesecake bites.
Right. Yeah.
And then you walk to another bar and you've walked and you're kind of feeling it, but you're like, okay, I'm okay. And then you walk to another one and then you have another drink at that bar. And then you sit down and you're like, oh, there it is. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And then you get home and you're like, okay, I can't even.
The night of our wedding, I fell asleep under the sink of our hotel bathroom.
Nice.
We had gone out to the bar after the ceremony and reception, and then had an after party back at our hotel room, wow, eating all the leftover food and
nice,
playing cards with people that were staying at the hotel. And I needed something cold to lay my head on, so I was like, I'll just go to the bathroom. Don't mind me. And people, of course, took pictures of
me. I need to see them.
On my wedding night, laying underneath a sink, covered in towels.
Nice.
Not naked for once, so.
Yeah, for once.
You know? So.
That's fun. Is that a new thing, going to, like, after parties? Like, this place, the reception hall, closed at, like, 10:30.
Yeah.
So we went to a bar, but, like, our place, we used to stay at the whole, like, is this a new young thing? Or you?
We had ours from 6 to 11.
Okay.
Or 5 to 11.
So that place closed kind of
right,
early.
Right, it closed kind of early. And then not everybody went to the bar.
Right.
But more people showed up back at our room.
Because, yeah.
After the bar.
We had it in Wichita.
Yeah. So I'd say there was maybe, what, like, 10 people that went to the bar with us, and then there was like 20, 25 that came back to our room, but yeah, it was in the hotel that
right,
everybody was staying at, and so like you didn't have to worry about getting home at that point.
Yeah.
You just like walked
in. We had just
ordered our friend's mom. And then also we had like all this extra food, and we're like, just come to our room and help us eat this, because
mm-hmm,
we all know you've been drinking. We've all been drinking, so we can eat some shrimp cocktail and whatever.
Shrimp cocktail,
yeah. We did. It was under the sea theme.
Yeah.
Shrimp cocktail and crab mac and cheese.
Crab mac and cheese.
I'm going to go to your wedding.
Pizza bites.
Everybody.
Yeah, so we had our sisters as our groomswomen, because we each just have one sister, and so we were like, well, just have your sisters. And my sister's like, if I'm going to be in your wedding, there better be pizza bites. Pizza rolls. Pizza rolls, that's it.
Pizza rolls. Wow.
So we had pizza rolls out of for my sister.
Your sister has low standards. I mean, I don't want to.
I also gave her their address, and she heats dresses. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was your compliment. So, this is an Elijah Craig small batch store pick. So, yeah, speaking of, on the last episode we talked about bourbons dropping their age statement. Elijah Craig used to be a 12-year, and now it's a who knows what year. But, excuse me, this is a barrel select out of Minnesota. Minnesota. Haskell's.
Beautiful Mount Rose, Minnesota.
You know, guys get out of
Haskell's
Mount Rose all the time.
Haskell's barrel.
Yep.
Father of bourbon.
So,
really, Fritz?
No, no, Elijah Craig is the father of bourbon.
Oh,
yeah. That's not
okay, Fritz. Elijah.
So, Elijah Craig has Heaven Hill. Heaven Hill, yeah. Overall, I think they make pretty good bourbon. I'm very disappointed that they dropped the 12-year, because the 12-year was just so, like, malted.
They don't make it at all.
They don't know. The barrel proof is 12 years.
Yeah. Shit, that's fresh.
But I'll say, for me on the nose, I always get nuttiness out of
this is super
Heaven
nutty.
Hill. Like, it smells like peanuts to me.
Mm. It smells like chestnuts,
yeah.
Chestnuts.
But it's always nutty, whatever.
It's a little bit spicy.
Yep. It is a bourbon, so
you're even good at this.
Corn, yeah.
I was gifted.
That's true.
And still am.
I can smell nuts a mile away.
One of my X-Men powers. The worst X-Men ever. Anybody with a nut allergy? Hire me. I will save your life.
Get it together, Ryan.
Alright, I finally got to swallow that. I just thought I had this vision of an X-Man. Let me play Attack of the Skull House of Children.
Stay away, nuts.
Not nuts.
Clearly, this is the second episode of the night. So you like it?
I do.
I am disappointed that Elijah Craig dropped the date statement, but it was the first, one of the first bourbons that I fell in love with was the Old 12 Year. And it's nutty, but the Old 12 Year, and we have some, we'll definitely share with you guys. It, to me, it's like malted milk balls. Like, it's
oh, good. It's one of my favorite snacks.
But it's so, like, it's so good. All right, so Elijah Craig, store picks, they're actually fairly common. The regular bottles are around $25-ish, which isn't too bad for a bourbon.
Yeah.
And this is about the same price.
That is a big bottle.
And it's...
It's a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's alright.
I mean, the trouble is, we've had a lot of the older stuff, and it's just... It's different than the new stuff. But there's some good... I mean...
This isn't as smooth as I'd
like. It's not a hard... I mean, for $25, if you think you like it, it's not bad to drop $25 on a bottle nowadays of bourbon, so... You know, who knows how old it is? Probably 8-ish years, maybe.
Okay.
There was an article I was going to send you guys. There's a blog I subscribe to, and they sent, like, the 10 best bottles of whiskey under $50 and under. And Four Roses was one of them. I remember you guys talking about Four Roses on one of your older casts. And
Four Roses is pretty good.
Four Roses is pretty solid.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of them lined up, but...
Elijah Craig is pretty solid, too. You can find it all over the place. Not the single barrels, necessarily,
Elijah
but...
Elijah Craig.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get back into the story.
Not really a story. It's like a scientific
whatever history is this. It's funny.
Hey.
What?
I'm deficient.
I know you are. Very deficient.
Thanks.
Okay, so phrenology became very popular in the United States. And... social classes could apply the principles, and so eventually it became commercialized in the United States, right? Capitalism.
Of course.
And used to oppress people.
Yeah.
Of course. So the Fowler brothers, Lorenzo Niles and Orson Squire, were the ones that brought it to the United States. And what's funny is Orson started in the ministry, and then he moved into phrenology.
Classic move.
Yeah, and then after that, other... family members, like, followed into the family business of phrenology. And so they translated this into a doctrine of perfectionism. So you could create the perfect social and moral system, and probably where you started to get issues of...
Wait a second. That's a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope.
Yes. And their version attempted to bring together science... that was capable of improving the mind and benefiting mankind, and they thought it would herald in a new and better world. Mm. Shockingly enough. I mean, this is about the time probably when, you know, we have issues of eugenics and all that jazz going on, so it's not shocking. And so...
Shockingly enough, it's not shocking.
It's shocking enough. Did I say that?
I think so.
Well, whatever. So, Lorenzo married Lydia... and Lydia started studying and providing lectures to women. So at this point, it was mostly for men. And so she started the women's studies. And she attended Central Medical College, which was eclectic, apparently. So it consisted of her education, consisted of plant remedies, diet, and hygiene.
Which?
And she became a doctor. And she graduated in 1 year. So she became a doctor at this school in 1 year. And she was the second woman ever at that point to graduate from medical school in the United States.
Wow.
Damn.
But she was a witch.
Yeah, definitely.
And
also, medical school is only a year, so...
Yeah, I wasn't that good at medical school.
You didn't have to learn as much back then.
You'll be fine.
Here's some plants.
Yeah, I wrote some plants on it.
Here's some plants.
So, they started the American... Phrenological Journal, which actually ran from 1838 to 1911. So they published scientific articles on phrenology.
That's a long time.
For almost 100 years, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Sure. And even though there was issues with prejudice and all that stuff, and, you know, probably hand-in-hand with some early eugenics movement, it's claimed in the sources that many in this field actually argued for equality between the sexes. But then some argued that one sex was more inclined than others. So, who knows?
Well, first of all, most women are smaller than men. So, we're at a disadvantage to your measurements already.
Yeah, you know. And then there's actually, I didn't really read the whole article, but there's connection to Django Unchained.
Django?
I have not seen that.
I have not seen the full movie, but apparently.
Yes, we did.
Probably, I didn't like it, apparently. But anyway, yeah. It's a good movie. Apparently it was minor, too.
What? Oh, it's in there?
Yeah, like, he had an argument about, probably phrenology, but it was probably early genetics. I mean, he's one of the people, so not shocking. Obviously, there's also critics of this movement. The Austrian government ordered Gaul to stop lecturing in 1801 for fear that his talks would cause people to lose their heads. Get it? Phrenology? Lose their heads? And become materialists, believing only in the truths written on their skulls rather than in God.
Mm.
Yeah. And there was a French scientist, Marie-Jean-Pierre Ferrens. Who tested phrenology hypotheses. You want to guess on what?
Pigs.
Sheep. Close. Dogs, rabbits, and birds.
Not cats.
Not dogs.
Dogs, rabbits, and birds. Any guesses how Marie-Jean-Pierre Ferrens tested them?
Removing their brain?
Oh, God.
So removed parts of brains of rabbits, dogs, and birds and studied the response. In other words,
lobotomies?
Yeah, like basically, if you remove part of the brain, do other areas take over, like that personality trait?
Like Phineas Gage, is that a thing that got the iron stake for
his? Yeah. I've heard of that, yes.
Through the front of his brain, he just like became aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And the articles claim that actually, assuming that the animal didn't die, they actually seem to take over, like other parts of the brain did take over.
Really?
So, apparently this was a positive test of phrenology by Marie-Jean-Pierre Ferrens. And so, but as is the case in all trends, around the turn of the 20th century it fallen out of favor, probably because the poor had taken it over and the rich didn't like it any longer. Like, oh, you poor people, you peasants, we don't care about phrenology any longer. Right?
Your brains are actually the same size as ours. Damn it.
Ding dang.
But the question is, what did they actually get right? Or at least kind of right.
The bulgy eyes.
The brain was the center of cognitive function. So we know that to be true.
Good for them.
Actually, larger cortexes meant higher order of intelligences. So I guess the fact that a couple of us have larger...
Yours is mostly fat, okay? Let's be honest.
Hey, but hey, it's still there.
You have a fatty brain.
I do. They argued for spatial organization of brain function, which we now know to be fairly true. Like, mm-hmm. different parts of the brain function mm-hmm. different ways. And eventually, nowadays, we have headlines and book titles like Super Brain Power, Brain Fit, Use Your Brain to Change Your Age, Coaching with the Brain in Mind, Rewire Your Brain for Love, all of these things. So,
Sudoku.
Yeah. But what's really sort of telling is there was actually literally a modern day. It was published in January of 2018, so not that long ago. There was a group at
that was like a couple months ago.
Yes, there was a group at Oxford.
He said literally.
There's a group at Oxford University that actually wanted to study these phrenology concepts in a modern day setting, like using modern day tools and techniques. And you want to know what their conclusions are, and I will quote it.
I kind of want to know how they studied it.
But what they said is, and I quote, "We found no statistically significant or meaningful effects for either phrenological analyses."
So well, that was anticlimactic. Thank you.
Game over.
2018, you guys were totally full of crap.
Well, they just didn't know any better. All they had, back in 1800s, all they had was rulers, so they were just measuring things.
Like, honestly, that's pathetic.
They got bored of that. The brain and the skull.
They stick this ruler right into the skull through this hole I drilled.
Yeah.
Look how bulgy your eyes are.
Are you better or worse at math right now?
I'm really glad I didn't live back then.
Oh, God, no.
I would have been the antisocial recluse. He's the man who lives on the island with all the cats. Study his brain. When people approach, I'd hiss at them.
Yeah,
you just embark from my island.
You would have been burned at the stake for sure.
Probably. I feel like if you could, you would live like that now. Netflix there.
I'm already in Netflix.
You would just Cheetos.
Yeah. If there was like a silo full of flaming hot Cheetos, it's like.
What if there was an attic full of Netflix?
Would there be one window?
One window.
Okay.
Because you couldn't.
And a large bedroom.
No, I have to have running water.
So oh, well, that changes it.
Would I get paid to be there?
No.
No.
But Cheetos.
Would you need running water if you were bathed by cats?
Well, then it could lick you clean.
My skin would be, like, ripped off. There's so many questions.
This is a difficult question
to answer. This is very difficult for me.
Oh, boy.
Would I ever interact with other humans? You know? And if so, who?
Just need cats. No, I'll just talk to your cats.
No, I just need cats. I can do it. I would go insane.
Oh, I can do it.
Yes, you will go insane.
Like, I could probably get a pen pal on AOL.
I don't know.
My AOL
would work. Like, I mean, you are writing, but
I was gonna say that would be a good podcast episode. It's like freaky stories from AAM. Back in the day.
Oh my!
Like, I wasn't allowed to have it when I was at my house. But my best friend, his parents were divorced. His mom worked all the time, so we pretty much had free reign. And so we would go on AIM and go to the chat rooms and talk with people that we didn't know. And then we would call them.
Oh.
Ooh, wow. And
so we were, like, talking
I
to some girl.
I never called anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I did it eventually.
Terrifying.
I remember one guy, like, and I don't know, I'm not a geek, so I don't know how easy or hard this was, but, like, well, I chatted with this guy for, like, ever and ever and ever, and he one day, like, narrowed down my location to, like, the town, like, the biggest town next to us. Mm. And that scared the hell out of me. I was like, oh, shit, all the news stories are true. People are dying from chatting with other people. So I didn't talk to him ever again. I was like, that's too freaky. It really scared me.
I never had one that scary.
I'm sure he was just a computer geek, but.
Well, but still, yeah. Like, if you're talking to somebody, like, that's going to creep them out. Like,
yeah.
I can tell.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's you in the Walmart.
I'm actually not a Spice Girl. I'm sorry. I lied about the whole thing.
I'm 12 years old.
So, well, you know, you can find us on various social media, speaking of the internet. And feel free to creep on us. We don't care. We have no creepers, so we need creepers.
We are creepers.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. Twitter is verbal at verbal distiller.
You have to say at anymore. People know.
Whatever. Facebook, Verbal Distillery, I believe. Yes. VerbalDistillery@gmail.com. Also, we're on Instagram, probably Verbal Distillery.
Stitcher and iTunes.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say more.
And
Stitcher, iTunes. But if you're listening to this, you probably found us there anyway.
I use CastBox.
CastBox,
yeah. Because I also have Spotify, switched to Android. So CastBox has a lot bigger selection of podcasts that I listen to.
And we're on CastBox.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
It's kind of like catch all, I think.
We're on CastBox as well.
Yeah, that's why I listen to you.
Spotify.
But not on Spotify.
Sweet.
Anyway, you heard it. You can't unhear it.
Unless you try really hard. You could probably make your brain bigger and then you get done.
Or you could just drink a lot to get you heard this.
Yes.
Yeah.